In my coaching, I talk about three core principles, and one is connection. And I think community is a powerful place to get connection. Now, I coach football on the side. I love football. And I always talk to my football players about peer pressure. And peer pressure gets a bad rap. Like, it's always the bad guy. Like, people are like, oh, he gave in to peer pressure, or peer pressure made him do it. And I always tell my football players, peer pressure is real and it's important. And you want to have the right kind of peers pressuring you to live in alignment. Man, this integrity thing just comes up all over. But you want to have the right peer group that pressures you to live the way that you want to live. And so I'm noticing, like, COVID back in 2020 really shook the world as far as like community goes. And I feel like people are finally noticing, like, oh, I've been missing something. And the world is kind of opening back up, and like, people aren't as scared. And the thing that I would tell you is find communities that will push you and help you test your own limits and create new strengths and new skills. And I feel like as parents, there are not a lot of communities that will help you when it comes to parenting. But man, if you can find one that will help you be an impactful parent, that will have generational ripple effects, like on your kids, on their kids, and it'll just. So now's a good time. Go find a community to support you and get some of that positive peer pressure working in your favor.
Welcome to Parenting Teens Today with Jesse LeBeau.
All right, everybody, welcome. I am so excited. This is a gentleman who I got to go on his podcast maybe a month or so ago and share a little bit of my story and had a lot of fun connecting and getting to know him. And this time I get to just shut up and listen and hear your story. So this is working pretty well, Ben. I'm excited. Everyone, this is Ben Pugh, the man, the myth, the legend. And dude, what's your 2024 resolutions? Let's just get into it. What are we doing? How do we feel about resolutions?
Yeah, so I don't know. Last year I was a little unpopular. I was telling people, hey, New Year's goals, they're great, but you need to identify what are the habits that I need to create to actually accomplish my New Year's resolutions. And so there are people that are like, well, do you hate goals? And I'm like, no, I love goals. Just they need to be habit driven. And anyways, that was last year. This year, I was kind of drawn to one particular word that I kind of want to study and have lead my life.
Yes, yes.
And that word is integrity. And man, we're just 5 days into January at the time we're recording this, and it is blowing my mind. Like, integrity is huge. And like, just the other night, I was like, man, I got to start small. What, how am I going to practice living in integrity? And I told my wife, hey, you know, my big 40 ounce water cup that I drink out of. And she's like, oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to drink three of those tomorrow. And that, and she's like, oh yeah. Will you also get caught up on your podcast and like have everything planned out? And I'm like, nope, just the water. Like,
we're
that's
starting.
Tomorrow. That's where I'm starting. And it was a powerful exercise to be like, oh dang. Like, I'm in the habit of living out of integrity. Like, when things get hard, I just give up on them. And so that's kind of, I don't have any specific goals or resolutions, but my word for the year is integrity. I'm excited to see what impact that has on my life, on my relationship with my wife, my teens, and on my business. So that's just a quick view of where my focus is this year.
Yeah, dude, I love that. I've done that every year, and you just reminded me that I didn't pick a new word. I feel like I chose the word relentless like 4 years in a row. I was like, everything's relentless, never give up, keep working hard. But I'm gonna change it up, and I'm by the end of this, I'm going to give you my word. That's going to be a goal here. So, well, dude, I love having you here. This is a parent community that has changed my life, and it's something that I kind of want to dive into and go into your backstory and everything, of course. But what do you feel like is happening when it comes to community, when it comes to people connecting with other individuals, whether it's in church, whether it's in school, whether it's in sports, whether it's in work, whether it's in the family? Do you have any thoughts on this concept of us and community today in 2024? Sounds crazy to say, but 2024.
Yeah, so in my coaching, I talk about three core principles, and one is connection. And I think community is a powerful place to get connection. Now, I coach football on the side. I love football, and I always talk to my football players about peer pressure, and peer pressure gets a bad rap. Like, it's always the bad guy. Like, people are like, oh, he gave in to peer pressure, or peer pressure made him do it. And I always tell my football players, peer pressure is real and it's important. And you want to have the right kind of peers pressuring you to live in alignment. Man, this integrity thing just comes up all over. But you want to have the right peer group that pressures you to live the way that you want to live. And so, I'm noticing, like, COVID back in 2020 really shook the world as far as, like, community goes. And I feel like people are finally noticing, like, oh, I've been missing something. And the world is kind of opening back up, and, like, people aren't as scared. And the thing that I would tell you is find communities that will push you and help you test your own limits and create new strengths and new skills. And I feel like as parents, there are not a lot of communities that will help you when it comes to parenting. But man, if you can find one that will help you be an impactful parent, that will have generational ripple effects, like on your kids, on their kids, and it'll just... So now's a good time. Go find a community to support you and get some of that positive peer pressure working in your favor.
Positive peer pressure. Yeah, I've never heard it put like that. But it is such an important concept of you are the average, you know, of the five people you spend time with. And I feel like that's a good flip on, yeah, get peer pressure to do better, to work harder, to surround yourself with more amazing people, to serve others, all of these things in a positive way. So you're pro positive peer pressure, pro integrity. I like how we're starting off here today. This is a good start.
Yeah, this is gonna be a great podcast.
Yeah, man, I'm fired up. You're healthy now. We're good to go. And also for those of you watching, welcome to this is our LaBus. This is your virtual experience inside of our little basketball bus here. I'm on the move today, but we were able to stop and get some Wi-Fi and have a conversation here. So I'm super excited. So Ben, I want to go back to this community thing too. As you were saying that, one of the quotes that comes to mind is the powerful Tony Robbins says, the quality of your life comes down to the quality of your relationships. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult who's a billionaire. If you don't have quality, meaningful relationships of people that can be there with you during the hard times and you for them as well, and then also to celebrate the victories and the wins, then it's a pretty lonely existence. And I've been hearing this term lately, the loneliness epidemic. Yeah. Is this something that you're seeing with the kids and the families and the parents that you work with? Do you have any thoughts on the loneliness epidemic?
Yeah, I haven't heard it said that way, but so I work with parents and teens, and I don't think anyone's come right out and said, like, oh, I'm lonely. But they're like, no, something's going on. I can't put my finger on it. And so mostly parents listen to this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So parents, let me let you in on a little secret. Your teens are tired of you nagging them to get off of their phone just to see you over sitting on your phone, like doing the exact same thing that you want them to stop doing, your teen is probably lonely. And I always tell parents this little secret. Your teen wants you to connect with them. And parents, we make the mistake of thinking, no, it's my teen's job to connect with me. Like they need to get good grades or follow my rules or do whatever. If you want to safeguard you and your teen against this loneliness pandemic, put your phone down and start building connection with your teenager. And one of the most powerful things I learned in the past, anytime I want to change someone else, that's outside of my control. I can't change them, but I can be the change that I want to see. And rather than nagging your teen about getting off their phone, get off your phone, go connect with them. They're a teenager. They're supposed to act like they hate it. That's just part of the deal. But you build that connection, and I think you can prevent, I don't know, this loneliness pandemic from entering your home.
And I would argue, I love all of that, Ben. And I would argue, not only will it change their life, it will change your life.
Yeah.
As the parent, I saw that firsthand when I made a conscious decision that I'm going to put systems in place of this is how I'm going to have this relationship with my phone, with social media, with the internet, with email. This is what it's going to be. And this is what works for me. Doesn't matter what other people think. Doesn't matter that other people are upset that I don't follow them or that I unfollowed them or that they can't respond to me. I've gone and done big speaking events and these people have come and they're like, man, you're really hard to get in touch with. I was able to get in touch with so-and-so easier than you. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm here right now, connected with you in person. This is great.
Yeah.
And I asked him like that so-and-so, the person you mentioned, did they stay for 3 hours after with the kids at the event and do one-on-one questions and play basketball and do all these things? And he's like, no. And I go, okay. And then I feel good about myself because it's not, it's about connecting in person, I think is an important thing. And your time is such a valuable resource. And I feel like I appreciate it more as I've gotten older of like, man, I don't want to waste any time on the BS. So, you know, you've had an interesting career path. Now today you work with parents and teens, like you said, coaching, helping, mentoring. Can you share your backstory of how you ended up where you are today and any entertaining stories that you have from your childhood?
Oh yeah, I have one. It seems to be the one that everyone's like, ooh, talk about this thing. We'll get to that in a second. While you were talking about like staying with the kids for 3 hours after speaking to them, I was like, man, I wish back when I was a principal, I'd have known about you. Like I'd have gotten you to my school so quick. And so that's a little bit of my backstory. I was a high school principal on the Ute Indian Reservation for 5 years, and I loved it. Like, that's the one job that, I don't know, sometimes I'm tempted, like, man, if I could go back, like, maybe I would. But it was just so much fun. I love the kids. I love the culture. And I had the unique opportunity of being the principal that kind of turned our school around from being a perennial failing school. Like our graduation rate was 55%. We had over 200 suspensions a year. And due to my past, I feel like I had the secret sauce to being a principal. And that past that I talked about when I was in school, I got suspended multiple times. And when people would be like, man, you're really young to be a principal, I'd be like, well, I got a lot of experience back when I was in high school because I spent days in the principal's office. Like that was basically my principal office. And so like we were able to take graduation from 55 up to 88% and drop suspensions from over 200 a year to less than 20 a year. And the reason we were able to do that is because we prioritized connection and relationships with our students. Like that was more important to us than like tests, even behavior. Like the relationship has to come first. And I learned that from being a teenager. When I was 13, I accidentally lit my school bus on fire with rubber cement. And I was labeled a bad kid. And I felt like what few connections I had with adults dried up and disappeared almost overnight. I remember going to a friend's house, and I was friends with his parents. Like, they liked me and liked how hard I worked. And his mom met me at the door, and she's like, "Sorry, you can't play here anymore. We don't want you to burn our house down." And I remember church leaders expressing their disappointment in me and telling me, "Yeah, some of your goals, like to go serve a mission for your church, you won't be able to do that. We don't send arsonists out to represent the church." And I just
probably a good business plan. The arsonists in the name of the church.
Yeah. So, like, but the thing that they were missing is the big picture. Like, one thing, I wouldn't ever label a kid an arsonist after, like, just one.
Yeah, isolated.
Like, yeah, it was a big, dumb event. But, like, if you're not constantly trying to start stuff on fire, you're probably not an arsonist.
You're not an arsonist. You're a person who did arson.
Yeah, you're a person who made one dumb mistake. Like, we can get
you're
past
a teenager.
That. But the thing that I found is that there were a few adults in my life that went the extra mile to build that connection with me. And I have one teacher in particular that I remember. I was a 16-year-old kid. I was a sophomore playing varsity football. So I just thought I was like all that in a bag of chips. And I remember one day he's like, "Ben, I challenge you to a wrestling match. And if you can beat me, you can talk to all the cute girls. Like, you can mess around. You don't even have to come to my class. I will still give you an A." It's like, "But if I beat you, you have to try. You have to sit where I ask you to, and you have to turn in every single assignment." And I'm like, this man's like a 62-year-old man. I'm 16. I'm going to demolish him. So at the end of class, like, we moved the desks away, and we had this little wrestling match. It lasted like 20 seconds, and he pinned me. And he's like, "Whoa, wait, 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 wait. I cheated." And I was like, "Well, yeah, of course you cheated. That's the only way you could beat me."
Man's
so
great.
like a dummy, I went ahead and wrestled him again. And like all these cute girls that I was talking to before, they're all watching me. And this kid or this teacher beat me again.
Jeez.
He failed to mention that he's like a multiple time state wrestling champ and like wrestled in college.
Okay.
But this man took the time to know me, understand me. He's like, "Man, this kid's just a little peacock. He wants everyone to watch him. He doesn't care if he gets his butt kicked. Like, he just likes being the center of attention." He was able to find ways to connect with me. And there's some other adults that did that. And that helped me go from being this troublemaker who was always in trouble to being a kid that, like, I graduated on time. They didn't think I'd graduate. And hey, I did it. 2.0, baby. Like, I got the bare minimum to play football.
All right.
And learning this stuff, this is what has helped me. Like, I was a better principal because I understood, hey, no, kids are going to make mistakes. And the way to support them is by increasing connection, not suspending them and cutting off all connection. And it's helped me as a life coach for parents and teens. The teens that want coaching, like, I can teach them about positive peer pressure. Like, go out and make some better friends. Like, get people in your corner that will pressure you to do the right thing. It's powerful. And I can also reach parents and say, hey, what your teen really needs is a better relationship with you. And if you, as the parent, take the time to that relationship, all the stuff that you're worried about will take care of itself. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is how is your relationship with your team.
Huge. It makes me think of this this principle we talk about, and it's one caring adult. Every kid, every teenager, and there's Harvard studies to back this up, but every kid that goes on to be successful has had one caring adult that was consistently in their life throughout their teenage years. So it can be a parent, it can be an uncle, it can be a school teacher that will wrestle and pin you in front of the whole class.
All the cute girls, man.
It was a different time back then, isn't it? Could you imagine if, what happened today at school? Oh, I wrestled the teacher and he pinned me. He's fired. Cancel him, sue him. But I'm thankful for those days, and I'm thankful that I grew up in a time when we had a little bit more freedom to make some mistakes without it being posted on the internet forever.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
shoot, man.
Just real quick, let me throw this in there.
Yeah.
The old ways that we miss aren't as gone as we think they are. When I was a principal, I would have pillow fights with my students in the commons area. Like, we just ripped the cushions off the couches and like chuck them at each other. There were people from the state of Utah who came to visit our school once and caught me mid pillow fight. And I'm like, oh, crap, like, guys, put the pillows back. And they're like, can we speak to the principal? And I was like, yeah, so that's me. I do believe that a lot of, so we're mainly talking to parents. A lot of parents parent from a place of fear. And a lot of educators today work in education from a place of fear. Like, oh no, I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get fired. Yeah. And so I coach football on the side. I'm still connected with education. And what I found is I refuse to coach from fear. I'm going to be me. If someone comes along and they feel like they need to fire me, so be it. But as I've been me, like, yeah, every season I'll get one or two parents that just hate me. They don't like my methods. They don't like, usually it happens after we've lost a couple of games. They're like, oh, it's the coach's fault. But it's been powerful. Anytime I've gotten in hot water from a parent or administration, it's my players that are like, no, he's our favorite coach. He's the best coach you've ever had. He teaches us this. And I feel like if you parent from fear, or if you're in education and you go about doing your job from fear, you are filtering yourself and holding yourself back. When you can parent from a place of confidence and purpose, like knowing this is who I want to be, you're taking off all the filters and like you are just you. And if you want a better relationship with your teen, get good at showing them, hey, this is who I really am. Like when I'm hangry and upset, that's not really me. That's another filter. Yay. But this is me. And so if you're an educator, especially, don't do your job through fear. Like tap into who you want to be and unapologetically do that. You'll be amazed at what you can get away with, that people are like, ooh, we need more of that. We need more principals that have pillow fights with their students in the commons.
Yeah. Dude, I might have found my word for 2024, fearless.
Yeah, fearless, there you go.
A great word in a lot of different respects. The wheels are still turning. Dude, I love that. What a funny moment. It's literally like something out of a movie. Like the record scratches and the people walk in and you got the pillow and you're like, oh, it made me think of one time I had a crush on this girl, and I bought a body pillow, and I was like, oh, like she'll love this body pillow. And I was over at our friend's house, and I had this body pillow. I was telling him like, yeah, this is gonna be my surprise gift, and it was like my two best friends. They're married now, and their mom was visiting, and we're all really close. And then she knocked on the door, got knocked on, and it was her. And I like panicked, and I had this body pillow, and I just like threw it out of the room and just stood there like this. I looked like a total idiot. So I feel like I can relate to your story. It brought me a lot of a joy down memory lane right now. So, Ben, one of the issues that comes up, it's as old as time, is my kid is dealing with a bully. Do you have any thoughts or advice for parents when their kids find themselves in that situation, whether it's school, sports, or online?
Yeah. One of the most powerful things you can do is empower your teenager. And I feel like the way that typically in education, the way we handle bullying is we disempower the bully and we continue the victim narrative for the kid who's actually the victim of bullying. And what I found to be super helpful, if you can find a way to empower the victim of bullying, and if you can also find a way to empower the bully, it tends to let the kids, I don't know, learn that, hey, I have power here. I get to set boundaries. This is what I will allow. This is what I won't allow. And a lot of the bullying that would happen at my school, a lot of times it was stuff that was outside of anybody's control. Like Snapchat is probably one of my least favorite apps because it deletes stuff.
The devil.
Yeah. And kids would come to me and they'd be like, oh, he's saying stuff about me on Snapchat. And one of the most powerful things you can do is empower the victim to understand, why do you care what this person says?
And
to understand, like, what are the real ramifications for what this person says? Because a lot of times people, like teens, are worried that, well, none of my friends are going to like me. My friends are all going to make fun of me. Every time I've worked with a kid on that, I'm like, yeah, that's a possibility. What's another possibility? What could another ramification be? And they'll be like, people see that kid for what they are. They see them for being a jerk. And when I talk to them again, I'm like, oh, so which one was more true? Like, did all your friends shun you and hate you? Or did they all kind of see the other person for who they are and grow even closer to you? And they're like, yeah, like 90% of the time, that's the way that happens. And the thing that I think is important to remember, especially with teens, like when teens are bullying, so we're talking about the bully now,
yep.
I guarantee you they are the victim somewhere in their life. And maybe their home life sucks. Maybe they're struggling in school. Maybe they're being bullied by someone else. And I feel like the way we handle it in education right now is we kind of just ignore the real problem and we make the bullying stop. When you can empower the victim and empower the bully, that makes the bullying stop. And you now have two advocates that will stand up against bullying because they've been empowered. And so if you're a parent dealing with that, number one, just ask yourself, how can I empower my teen in this moment? And it's a hard question. Like, I've had to deal with it. Like, my son, I don't know if it wasn't like bad bullying. I don't know. He got pantsed, but if you knew my kid, he's kind of like me, just as peacock. Any attention is good attention. But like,
he made a
didn't. What's that?
Yeah, he got into it and hammed it up, probably.
Yeah, he owned it. But like, at the end of the day, I want to be like, hey, what can you control? How could you avoid this? Like, what's a boundary that you would set? How would you like to handle this? Mm-hmm. And my thought was, well, I'm going to call up your principal because I know what it's like to be a principal and I'm going to tell him how to do his job and blah, blah, blah. Luckily, I took a step back. I asked all those questions to my teen. And the next day, he's like, yeah, we took care of it. I was like, did you talk to the principal? And he's like, well, he didn't really have time to talk. So I talked to the other kids and I'm like, hey, if you ever do that again, I'm going to talk to the principal. Like, I would never do that to you. Why would you do that to me? And he's like, we took care of it. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Like, that's the best case scenario. So,
yeah. Oh, man, I love that. And I think when you can raise the bar with kids of like, okay, we don't have to jump in and solve every problem for them, but hey, there's always going to be people metaphorically trying to pants you in life.
Yeah.
Right. So to be like, all right, but how can you handle it? What is this, that empathy factor of what you said earlier of almost every situation that kid, and you find out as the principal, and I've been in so many schools and seen this myself too, that kid is going through the most horrific, horrific home life or toxic environment that they're surrounded by. And so you're like, well, how could they not be acting out? How could they not be trying to inflict pain on other people when so much? So that empathy piece is really awesome. So you're working, so you went from being the principal and shifted and now full-time working with parents working with teenagers. And I'm curious, you know, these things, a lot of times you'll see patterns. Is there anything coming up here in the last year that you're seeing consistently that parents are being like, hey, this is what I'm struggling with when it comes to my son or daughter? And what do you tell them for those things, if there are any?
Yeah, so one of the patterns that I see just over and over is the parent thinking that there's a certain right way for their teenager to do life. And that might include like getting certain grades or making a certain sports team. Like I was struggling with this early in the football season. Like I started at a young age playing football. I was one of the better players on my team. And here we are, my son's a junior, not getting any time. And I'm like, oh, you go talk to your coach, like work harder. Like I'm trying to make his life look like what I think it should look like. And I get a lot of parents that come to me wanting me to coach their team. I have one right now where they're like, get him to stop smoking weed, get him to get better grades, and get him to stop hanging out with these bad friends. And I talked to the kid and he's like, I like my friends. I don't want to get good grades. I don't care. Like, as long as I pass, that's good enough for me. And the problem is, mom and dad think his life should look one way and he isn't willing to do that. And when I talk to the parents, they're like, well, what should we do? I'm like, well, probably just let him fail. Let him deal with those consequences. Let him get in trouble with his friends. And they're like, you want us to let him fail? I'm like, well, what are you going to do that's different than that? Like, are you going to go sit in his class with him and make sure that he does all the answers? And when it comes to like, you want us to let him get in trouble? Like, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to never let him hang out again? And for me, the pattern that I see, so I teach this concept that parents get stuck into usually one or more of three traps: the controlling parent trap, the doormat parent trap, or the lost and confused parent trap. And this family that I'm talking about, they were stuck in the controlling parent trap. And that's just this pattern that you're talking about: parents trying to control what their teen does. And the problem with that is, number one, you aren't letting your teen have the autonomy that they need to grow and understand life and really develop. And the other problem is you send this message that, hey, we don't trust you. You're going to mess it up. You're not doing it right. You have to do it our way. And the thing that I've seen over and over, when parents can get out of the controlling parent trap, it actually is kind of a good result if you get out of any of the traps, but you really send your teen this message of, hey, I trust you, I love you, and I'm here to support you. And it doesn't matter what that looks like. Like, yeah, if you fail classes, it's going to suck. There's consequences that come with that, but we can figure that out. And I think, so just to share a real quick story, in my hometown, we had a sexting scandal once upon a time, and they paid this speaker to come out and speak to us. I wasn't overly pleased, but she's telling the kids, like, don't ruin your lives. These kids, they ruined their lives. They'll never be able to get the same job. Like, and I want to teach the opposite message. Your life isn't ruinable. Like, avoid mistakes because there's a heavy price that you have to pay. But if you're the kid that accidentally lit a school bus on fire, I don't want you thinking, oh my goodness, my life is ruined. I want you to know, no, dude, like, you can come back from anything. You can use that to your benefit. And when parents get out of the controlling mindset, and this is a pattern that we learned from our parents, who learned from their parents, and it's gone probably way back to the dinosaurs or something. But when you can get out of that, you show this powerful message to your team that, hey, you are capable, you are strong, you're resilient, and that is what teens need more of. And this lie that you have to get straight A's and do everything by the book and make it look like Instagram worthy, that's just making teens anxious and unhappy. Let's let them be teens. Let them figure out their own crap as they get into it. So,
yeah, the control parent, the doormat, and then the lost and confused.
Yep, those are the three traps that I see the most.
Yeah. And it really hits on something that I think about a lot, and we talk with parents, is you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
So it's like they can want, these parents you're talking about, they can want it, everything they want for their kid. And we can want it as coaches and mentors in their lives. But unless they want it, unless they want to stop smoking weed, unless they want to start getting better grades, unless they want to start, you know, finding the right friend group that's going to have that positive peer pressure like we were talking, then it's kind of a waste. And one thing we do is we try to put it into the kids. All right, this isn't mom and dad. This isn't, you know, Coach Ben, this isn't Coach Jesse. Hey, what do you want? Are you happy with these things in your life? And if not, what can we do to change that? How can we give you the power? And I've found when we put it back in their control, like their steer, we say you're steering the ship. So if this is what we need you to commit for this, you know, next 90 days that we're going to work together, we can definitely help you, but you have to want it. Not your mommy and your daddy, not us. You have to want it. And it's so funny when that shift of like, oh, okay. And it's like, if not, then let's not do this and waste everyone's time, because it won't be fun. And I don't want to come here and have to like feel like I'm just begging to pull bits and pieces and talk to you. It's like, I want to work with people that want help. And if you don't want help, then unfortunately, there's nothing anyone can do for you.
Yeah. Let me use a metaphor that parents seem to understand. Like, teens, especially teen boys, they love to drive. Oh, and you have the bus, like your bus that you're driving. But do you actually drive that thing?
I drive it, dude.
I
didn't. I was super scared. But during the pandemic, it was our COVID mobile, our pandemic mobile. And like, I learned how to work a lot of things on here. I mean, it's not probably the safest, but yeah, I drive.
Okay, awesome, awesome. This will be great. So imagine you're driving your bus and I show up and I'm like, no, Jesse, let's go this way. And I grab the steering wheel, and maybe your wife is there and she's like, no, we got to go this way. And like, you got her hands, your hands, my hands. And I don't know, maybe some principal at a school is like, no, Jesse, I want you to come here now. And like, they get their hands. The more hands you get on a steering wheel, the harder it is to control. And like any like tug that I make on your steering wheel as the driver, like you have to resist that and you have to maintain control. If you think about your teen as having like, they are their own vehicle and there's one steering wheel. We want their hands firmly on their steering wheel, and for them to better drive, like it's scary and it's hard, but mom and dad, get your hands off their steering wheel. Even church leaders, friends, like, I want everyone, like, no one's hands are on my steering wheel but mine. I'm responsible for where I'm going. Like, this is my vehicle. My teens, they have their own steering wheel. And I have to catch myself all the time just reaching down, grabbing it, like, turning it. Like, nope, we got to go here.
Yeah.
The more you let your child, your teen, be responsible for their vehicle, their steering wheel, the more empowered they will be, the more responsibility they will take. And if I could share another pattern with you,
yep.
When parents let go of their teen's metaphorical steering wheel in this example, teens are way more likely to do what you want them to do anyways, because they're not having to resist against your pressure.
Yep. Oh, I love it, man. The steering wheel is a good one, and it goes with this. So many parents today are preparing the road ahead of their children for the kids. So going out, moving things out of the road, getting rid of the ice, working on the speed bumps, instead of preparing those kids for the road ahead. It's going to be bumpy. It's going to be, they need to be on the steering wheel. I'm really trying to bring this full circle here, this analogy. But so that when they have their hands on the steering wheel and you aren't there, because guess what? That's your job, is to prepare them for life without you, so they can stand on their own two feet and they don't need you jumping in and hitting the clicker and hitting the brake and backseat driving.
Yeah.
And so, dude, that is a great one. I wanted to ask you this. For parents who have kids who are struggling or they feel like they're failing in different ways, Can you share your story from when you were a kid and kind of the rock bottom that you hit and how that affected your life moving forward and everything you're doing today?
Yeah, so it didn't necessarily start at the school bus, like accidentally setting that on fire. Like, I had been tested for special ed, and I don't know, I didn't fit in. I remember being called lazy, but also, like, I grew up on a farm. When people needed hay moved off their field, like, I was the first guy that they called because I was the hardest working kid around. If your teen is struggling, they already know. And part of struggling, I feel like, is that the world that we live in today, we have this box of how we think teenagers should be and how they should live and the grades that they should get and the goals and aspirations that they should have. And a lot of times when we label kids as struggling, they just don't fit in that box. And they're not really struggling. They just don't fit in the prescribed box that most teens fit in. And I'll tell you, from someone who didn't fit in the box, it's lonely. And I seriously thought that there was something wrong with me. Still to this day, like, I get in these, I worry that I'm not good enough. Like, well, what if I'm not saying the right things on the podcast? What if I'm not good enough here? And the thing that I want you to understand, like, labeling your child as struggling or trying to hold them to someone else's standard, it doesn't help you as a parent, and it doesn't help your teen. And I feel like for me, when I finally accepted, like, it was a big process for me, is a big process for my parents. Like, I was never going to be the 4.0 student in high school. Like, in college, I got like a 3.98 or something. Like, I could do it when I cared. But when they let go, and when I let go, and it seemed like a lot of other people in my life let go, like, that's when I started flourishing and blossoming. Like, I became a really good football player because I was like, oh, like, I understand that. I will give that everything. I'll even get a 2.0 if I need to play football. Like, you can also give your team that same gift. And if they're struggling, school is one that I hear the most about. Like, people come to me because they're like, well, my teen is failing all of their classes. If you can identify, like, are they really struggling, or are they just not fitting the mold that everyone else is fitting? That's a powerful question, because I worked with one mom. She's like, yeah, when you asked me that question, I realized my teen isn't really struggling. They just don't fit the mold that most other teens do. And a lot of parents don't like to hear this, but, like, this is kind of what happened with her. She's like, we proactively withdrew our child from school. He didn't drop out. Even though educators call him a dropout and say he dropped out, she's like, no, we withdrew him. And from the day they withdrew him, he quit sleeping in. He was able to get up. He played video games way less. Like, he was like, man, now with all this freedom, I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. He doesn't fit the mold that most kids do, but this kid is just barely turning 18. And he's got thousands of dollars in the bank. He's got a job that he loves. And I look at the kid and I'm like, no, he is not struggling. He just didn't fit the mold. And the more we try and cram him into the mold, the more it looks like he's struggling. And so that's one of the processes that I help a lot of parents go through. Like, how can we just empower your teen and help them be them? I promise. Oh, sometimes I want to say things that I filter myself.
Yeah.
Guys, educators tell you that school is so important. And yes, I know school's important and we need it. But, like, if your kid is like, no, school's not for me. I have multiple friends that dropped out of high school and are doing just fine. Like, one's a computer programmer, makes way more money than he's like, all the kids that graduated, like, I make more money than them. Like, they'll be okay. trust your teen. They'll be okay. They'll figure it out. Like you said about smoothing the road for them, don't smooth the road for them. Yeah. Just help them prepare for the road that lies ahead. If you choose not to graduate high school, no problem. There's going to be some inconveniences, but I trust that you can figure that out too.
Yeah. Embracing their uniqueness. I love the concept because everyone doesn't fit an exact mold, right? And when you can really lean into that, like, yeah, this is who I am. And I agree with you that academic success doesn't translate necessarily to real world success. There's so many people who, you know, when it comes to reading and books and math and those things, it just doesn't compute, but they have amazing people skills and they can connect, and they have high social IQ. Granted, there's a lot of good things about school, connecting with people and being out of their comfort zone too. So it's a balance, but I love that, being open to, hey, what gets your kid excited? What lights their eyes? Is it because there might be something that's a career, that's a passion, that's like, okay, well, let's start maybe putting some energy into this. And that can translate into confidence and finding their tribe of people that are into that same hobby or sport or vocation that they're into. Man, it's so good. I feel like you want to say something.
I do. When you talked about leading the horse to water, when I was a teenager, I actually trained horses.
Oh, wow.
And there was a time where I was just not into school at all. But man, I could get a horse training job easy. And like people would pay me like up to, at that time, I think I remember making $800 for one horse for 1 month. And I'm like, if I didn't have to go to school, I could get 10 of them.
I'd be a millionaire.
The thing, if you look at school, school has become this one size fits all, one solution, and it's silly. In the world that we live in, why would we try and fix every problem with just one solution? And a lot of times when I share that with parents, they realize like, oh, yeah, like school is just the one solution. And my teen is very unique. Of course, it's ironic. Dads are the ones that usually catch this. They're like, yeah, school looks exactly like it looked when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Why are we trying to do the same thing to my kid that's so different? And I think there are way more options out there. And this goes back to when we talked about parenting from fear. A lot of parents that I talk to, they're like, well, we keep our kid in school because like we're worried if he doesn't do school, then he'll work at McDonald's his whole life. They're parenting from a place of fear.
Yeah.
Get out of the fear. Like, I promise you, your teen will figure it out. If they need a high school diploma someday, you can go get that thing. Like, you can go get your GED when you're 55 years old if you want. Like, trust. Parent from a place of confidence, and from that energy, I promise you, you will find ways to support your teen and create the environment that your teen needs to be successful. And school, I'm grateful for school. All my kids go to school, except for today. They have cousins out and they're skipping school. Anyways, we use the school system, but I don't want my kids to think, no, this is the only thing that can prepare you for the future. I want my kids to understand, no, like if you want to quit, I have one kid that's like, man, if I could just drop out of school and focus on basketball full time, I know I could make it to the NBA. And I'm like, well, the school might not let you play, but like, what if you could do online classes and in your spare time, go spend more time in the gym? Like, let's get creative. Let's figure out something that meets your needs. It creates the environment that you need to be successful.
So good, man. Well, let's wrap this up. But before we do, is there anything else on your heart that you feel like parents could benefit that is on your mind right now? I go through these stages where I'm like obsessed with like a certain thing. Is there anything that you have like that you want to share? An encouraging, positive note to end this
on? Yeah, I'm going to cheat and I'm going to share two of them.
Okay. Number one. Doesn't follow any rules, this guy.
Yeah, you can kick me off your show, I guess, but I'm here. So, number one, find ways to empower your teen. That's the most impactful thing that you can do on your teen's life. Like, just help empower them, and your teen will thank you for it. And it will actually make your job easier as a parent because you're letting them manage things that they can control instead of trying to control things that are outside of your control. And then the second thing that I would say, Gandhi is the one who's credited as saying this, but like, be the change you want to see. No one likes to be changed. No one likes to be fixed. No one likes to be controlled. Like, think back to back when you were a kid. Like, you never said, "Mom and Dad, I love it when you control me." What I want to invite you to do is stop trying to fix, control, or change your teen. Harness all of that energy that you were just squandering on things outside of your control. Bring it inward and create change from the inside out. That I've had so many parents that are like, "Man, my teen won't change their behavior. They won't do better in school." But when they start creating change in their own lives, all of a sudden that doesn't matter. And they can connect with their teen no matter what, because they are creating growth in their life. So.
I love it. Integrity. What was my word? It was going to be.
Fearless is the one that you were thinking of.
Fearless. I'm 75. Give me to the end of the day. I'll get back to you. Man, this was so good. I think parents are going to get so much good stuff out of this. Thank you for your time, Ben. I just appreciate what you do and how you're helping people and showing up in the world. Where can parents go if they want to find out more about how you work with families and parents and teens? What's the best spot to send them to?
Yeah, I would recommend you start. I have a free quiz that I give to parents that will help you identify what parent trap you're getting stuck in, whether it's the controlling parent, the doormat parent, or the lost and confused parent. And I've had parents tell me, "Man, just seeing it, understanding, oh, I keep being a controlling parent," it gives them the power to create change. So if you'd like to go take that quiz, it's completely free. You can go to benpewcoaching.com/parent-trap-quiz, all one word, no spaces. And when you do that, not only will you learn what trap you're getting stuck in, but I also have an audio course. It's also completely free. It's called Parenting from the Inside Out. And what it does is it takes you step by step through a process of how to get out of each of those traps. And I figure it doesn't matter if you're in the controlling doormat or lost and confused, you need to know how to get out of all of them, because I notice this trend that happens. People go from being in the controlling parent trap to the other extreme where they're now the doormat parent trap, and they're like, "Wait, that doesn't work either." And then they're just lost and confused. And if you go take this quiz, I've had parents tell me, like, just after taking the quiz and addressing their specific trap, it changed everything just in the matter of a day or two. So that's where I'd recommend. I also have a podcast. It's called Impact Parenting with Perspective. And my website is benpewcoaching.com. And you should be able to find everything you want there as well.
Beautiful. Ben, you're the man. Thank you. And keep it going. You're kind of going to crush 2024. I got a feeling.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I'm glad. Yeah.
I'm putting it out there.
We can do it, right?
All right, brother. Catch you next time.